Want to make a difference in your community but not sure how? Go to GoFundMe.com right now and start a GoFundMe. Seriously. Your next fundraiser doesn't have to start in a school parking lot or a church basement. You can start a GoFundMe today in just minutes. Fundraise for yourself, a friend, or family member, or an organization. All that matters is that you care about them. GoFundMe is the trusted place to fundraise for what you care about. With no pressure to hit your fundraising goal, but tons of tools to help you reach it, you can confidently start fundraising right now. Whether it's creative, local, or critical, your cause matters. And there's a reason why GoFundMe is backed by millions and chosen by fundraisers everywhere. It works, and it matters. GoFundMe helps you make a real difference. Start your GoFundMe today at GoFundMe.com. That's GoFundMe.com. GoFundMe.com. This is a commercial message brought to you by GoFundMe.
It is a great day to be alive in Pittsburgh, PA. How are you, everybody? Thank you to all the wonderful Yinzers out there joining us today on another edition of Cabali and Mac, presented by the Dan Heck Team, heckteamhomes.com. H-A-E-C-K, heckteamhomes.com. If you're looking to buy or sell a home in the Pittsburgh area, and you want to be serious about it, you're not into all this foolishness and nonsense, like playing with your virtual background for your show, like some people I know, then by all means, get a hold of Dan, Michelle, Jeremy, Corey, John, Keith, Heather, Mike, Tia, the entire team waiting there to help you at heckteamhomes.com, H-A-E-C-K, heckteamhomes.com, and we appreciate them so much for being the presenting sponsors of Cabali and Mac. What in the hell? First of all, you made us 5 minutes late for the show, Kaboom, because you're messing with your virtual background. And then you couldn't get it right. You still can't get it right.
Yeah, he's probably going to disappear after we go to the three shot, right? Is that the way to say it? The three shot?
The three shot. Yeah, it probably will disappear.
Yeah, whatever. It's the three counts.
That is a sliver of Josh Yoey's face that you see behind Cabali right now. Josh Yoey, who's been covering the Penguins for years and years and years and years and years, and we always appreciate him coming on, despite the fact that he's a cake eater, as Cabali calls him, because he grew up in Peters Township. He's going to join us because he's finally back in Pittsburgh. He just landed late last night after covering the Panthers Lightning series, and doing that on the side, has also been tracking down what exactly we should expect from the Mike Sullivan replacement search, the Pittsburgh Penguins head coaching search. We'll talk to him about that at length at about 11 o'clock this morning, which in Yoey time means probably more like 11:07-ish or 11:08, but he'll be here before the end of the show. You got to send me that picture so we can put it up on the screen so people can actually see it.
I think I've sent it to you before.
Have you? I don't have it anywhere. But if
you
send
it to me. You know what the funny thing is he's the one that sent it to me.
So good. People need more context. Is it on Twitter? I feel like I might be.
There's the one where he has like three cigarettes in his mouth is on Twitter. I know that one too. The people were ripping at him. This guy rips on Mike Sullivan or whoever it was he was ripping on. And they found a picture of Yoey with three like cigarettes. And you know, Yoey, he doesn't quite engage in any type of activity of like smoking or drinking or anything like that.
No, never.
He's more of a strip club guy. Was
Beamers. Beamers back in the day down in the port.
Yeah, he was more of a highway playground guy, I think.
Yeah, I mean, save a few bucks. Why not? Beamers can get expensive. We will talk. Also, of course, Josh has that two for talking podcast with comedian Joey Bartnick as well. We'll talk to him about all things Penguins coming up in just a few minutes, 15, 20 minutes from now. He'll jump into the mix here on Kabali Mac. But that was quick, Kaboom. Like, Sully and the Penguins get a divorce on Tuesday, and Friday morning, bang, he's working for the Rangers. They just hired him. It was announced this morning. This has a very look. I know a lot of people will say that the vibe around this thing is that Dubas and the Penguins kind of pushed Sully out the side door because they didn't feel like he was the right guy for the job anymore. But it also very much with the Rangers kicking the multiple teams always kicking the tires on Sullivan's availability feels a lot like dad went out and found a new girlfriend before the divorce was official kind of deal.
Yeah, I mean, we alluded to that right after it happened, that it really reeked of he had something on the back burner or maybe the front burner. Mm-hmm. He just needed to go in there and present his case that maybe he's not the right guy for it. I mean, you don't have a new job in a new city like that within a handful of days unless something's already been pretty much worked out. So,
especially
I would imagine in the grand scheme of things, this was his plan all along.
Yeah, this I think he had this on standby for a long time.
Which is good for him. I mean, that's where he would be able to succeed more, even though it is New York and a flawed team is that.
He's going to get paid. It's going to make whatever headaches about being in the New York media market well worth it.
He can take some of their stars, a handful of their good players, and make them into a championship caliber team like he did here. I don't think he was the right fit for where they were going at in Pittsburgh. And, hey, if he wants to move on, he wants to move on. You got to do what you got to do, right?
He's got to do what he's got to do. That is true. You have to do what you have to do. I don't know. It happened real quick, especially in light of the reports on, I think I saw it Wednesday morning, that he was going to kind of take a few days and just relax at home with his family up in Massachusetts. And then, bang, 48 hours later, my man has got the Rangers job. So I'm not buying any of that. Well, you know, he needs some time to sort of sit back and think about what he wants to do next. He knew all along. And look, I'm not casting aspersions on Mike Sullivan. Like you said, he's totally within his rights to do this, especially after Dubas, I don't want to say unceremoniously, but Dubas kind of, again, sort of slowly shoved him out the side door. I'd love to know what the dynamic was, though, when these two sat down to talk. I know the reports of Sully giving Dubas some demands or wanting certain things done before next year have been shot down by the Penguins organization. But it does make me wonder if Sully looked at Dubas and said, listen, I gotta be honest, I don't want you. Well, no, I think he could have looked at Dubas and said, listen, man, I know you guys just gave me an extension last year and I'm happy to stay if that's the way things work out. But if you're not going to give me what I want, and I'm not saying this happened, but I wouldn't blame Sullivan in the least if it is how it went down. If he said, listen, if you can't help get me some more NHL ready to compete guys, and this isn't just a glorified farm team with three Hall of Famers at the top of the roster next year, four Hall of Famers at the top of the roster next year, I'm not going to be able to do it. If he said, then in that case, I got other places I can be, Kyle. Like I could be in New York tomorrow. And in fact, 3 days later, 4 days later, that's where he is. He's in New York.
It might not even have to be that complicated. It could have been walk in the room or call him up and basically say, you know, I'm not a good fit here anymore. I know you don't want me here anymore. Let's just make up this mutual split and let's go our ways. I got another gig on the back burner. You would like to bring in your own guy to coach young guys and period. And let's fabricate some elaborate story of
mutual parting of ways.
It could be as simple as that.
Yeah, I have a feeling it could be that simple. I'm curious to pick Yoey's brain about that, how it really went down, and also what to expect from here on out, because he just put up a story probably 45 minutes ago, Yoey did, about, the name at the top of the list and that he spent several paragraphs on was Rick Tocchet. I would love that. I love Rick talking. Now, it does not necessarily fall in lockstep with the idea we talked about the other day, which would be a younger guy to sort of grow with the roster as it transitions from the Crosby era into the next era, whatever that may be. Sid could be around for another 5 years, too. Who knows? The guy wants to play hockey forever. He just loves it that much. But Tocchet being mentioned, and Josh also wrote, which we'll ask him about, the idea that, you know, when they brought in coaches before without a wealth of NHL experience, how did that go? It was tough for Crosby, Malkin, Letang to handle a coach previously who walked into an NHL locker.
Who would that be?
Quite have any experience, right?
The MJ.
Yeah, Mike Johnson was clearly thrown into the deep end and didn't know how.
Mike Johnson, I don't think, was ever their choice. He was the fallback plan, wasn't he? Yeah, we need a coach here. Nobody else wants it right now. Let's rock with him for a year.
Whatever the reason was, they went with him, and it didn't go well. Because, look, I'd like to believe, like I said the other day, that Crosby, Malkin, Letang, Carlson, if he's still around, could help a young coach bring a young roster along. But also, they want to be coached themselves, too. And they don't want to have to do the coaching. They don't want to have to be the adults in the room. They want to have somebody come in. And Sid gets along really well with Tocchet. He's got a ton of connections to the organization in the city, obviously.
But that was previous ownership. Do you think the Fenway Group even gives two flying you-know-whats about Rick Tocchet? Or is it his choice? Or is it straight up to Dubas?
I think they're handing the keys over to Dubas. That's what this whole thing smells like, is the keys are... I don't want to say that they weren't, that Dubas didn't have control before. He did. But like now it's going from, you know, driving along and having the navigation tell you what to do to all of a sudden you can go wherever you want as Dubas, as he's in charge now. And he does get along pretty well, I think, with Tocchet. They were on the same staff for Team Canada, I believe, at the Four Nations. Dubas, again, according to Yoey, wanted Tocchet to coach the world championship team this summer, but Rick was too busy going through the contract negotiations in Vancouver to be a part of that. So now the other monkey wrench, and again, we'll talk to Yoey about all this in about 15 minutes. The other monkey wrench is the Flyers have an opening, and everybody out in Philly are Rick's old running buddies from when he was in Philly, right? It's basically an alumni game running the organization for the Flyers right now. So if that might be his first choice, I don't know. It might be the Flyers' first choice, and they might just throw enough money at him to make it happen and for Dubas to walk away and say, no, I've got other options. Again, these are all great questions for Yoey when we get him on the horn here in about 15 minutes or so. Thanks as well to Southwest Greens. Look, you want to get your yard taken care of and have the best-looking yard in the neighborhood, the most functional yard in the neighborhood, and also spend the least amount of time on the yard in the neighborhood, go to southwestgreenspa.com. Tell Jake that Cabali and Max sent you, and then what they'll do, he and his guys, they'll come out, they'll look at your yard, they'll tell you exactly what they can do for you. Maybe it's a corner of the yard just for you, like a lounge area. Maybe some area around the play area for the kids. Safe for kids, safe for pets, obviously. It's artificial grass, but it looks and feels and acts real. The best looking yard in the neighborhood and with the least amount of maintenance of anybody's yard in the neighborhood. SouthwestGreensPA.com. Go check it out right now. We thank them for supporting us here at Cabali and Mac. All right. There's a couple different directions we can go here, Kaboom. You tell me what you'd rather talk about first. Would you rather talk about the continued slathering of love all over Will Howard by Steelers fans and media? Or would you rather talk about schedule possibilities, which that's 12 days away now?
Is that where we're at right now?
Yeah, that's where we're at. Unless you've got something else, Haas.
That's kind of a slow time for here for another, let me see, 8 days. Week from today, they will have rookie 8 days. What's today? Seven.
I think the mini camp starts on the 9th.
Rookie mini camp and some of the tryouts will be on the south side. So we could probably fawn over Will Howard then.
Is there anybody that from the undrafted free agents that they signed or the randos that they're bringing in for this rookie mini camp tryouts, whatever?
Somebody will be signed off that scrap heap, so to speak.
Yeah.
Usually it's, an old last year, I think they signed a running back. They've used to sign, I remember Donald, I forget his name. Why a 30-year-old tryout guy, a couple years ago, cornerback. You knew those type of guys. They were just coming in to get a look at him because they were going to sign them first. I really haven't taken a deep dive into their background, but I think they've typically bring on one or two of those guys every single year. There'll be somebody. I mean, we're not talking about earth-shattering type of guys here.
We're talking about somebody that ends up on the practice squad most likely, right?
No, I'm saying somebody who actually might come to camp more than
okay. Well, you could come to somebody. Camp and still end up on the practice squad.
Yeah, they'll add somebody here. You have to look at where maybe they're light at.
Yeah. There's a TJ kid in there. I saw that. Sarah Piglia.
Yeah.
Some of the other interesting ones. I don't know. Is there anything that jumps out to you? I mean, the kid from Kansas State, maybe. That's another edge rusher, though. Like, you just drafted one. You're pretty deep there. I don't see anything else that's necessarily jumping off the page that makes you go, ooh, okay. But I guess these guys actually get a legitimate opportunity to show something in this mini camp, don't they?
It's. I don't think so. They don't really do very much here. It's probably like an hour of just walkthrough type activities. A lot of times they just bring the guys in just to, give them a favor and see if they see something with some of those guys, get up, closer look at somebody. But they're really just trying to fill out a roster so they can do somewhat of a practice right now, it's not only rookies that go, it's also first year players as well. So whoever the first year guys are on the roster right now will also be invited. There will be a couple handful of veterans. I'm trying to think of an example of who that might be.
Who falls into that list?
Maybe so one of the running backs. What's his name? The one they signed in January.
Champlin, Aaron Champlin. Yeah,
those type of guys like that. All the future guys.
Or Evan Hall. I don't know. There's all kinds of random. Like
It's nothing to.
So Will Howard isn't going to get anything crazy thrown at him here during this thing, is what you're saying.
I'm just trying to think. I don't even know if Skylar Thompson would be available. No, he would probably not because he's played some games. So he'll be the only quarterback there. So he'll be taking reps with the ones, right?
Are there really any ones at rookie minicamp?
Yeah, there's something. It's mostly just individual stuff. But it's just introduce a lot of the younger guys, the guys who are going to make the team to the organization, how they do stuff, how they do meetings, so they're not overwhelmed here in the next 3 or 4 weeks when they do have OTAs, when they do have mini camp. But it'll be the first time you really get to talk to a guy like Derek Harmon. I mean, you actually see guys face-to-face. I mean, first time when you saw Devin Bush, it was like, Who's the slot corner out there? Oh, that's Devin Bush. Holy, I don't say that with any malice, but the Steelers have same sizes for outside linebackers. 6'3", 6'4", 260 is inside linebackers, 6'1", 6'2", 220. And you got this guy who's about 5'9". You're like, who's that guy? It's like, that's Devin Bush. Holy cow, is he small,
Yeah.
Something like that. Or Najee Harris, boy, he's put together. Or something like that. So just get a glance at him. Probably Will Howard will probably be intimidating. He's a big man.
He is. He's a bit of a horse. He's 6'4".
Horse.
People are already, and I mentioned this the other day, and I just feel like every time he comes up now, there's a combination of things at play here that are going to drive me nuts.
All of a sudden, John Gruden's an expert at everything now? That one?
Well, no. I'll be honest. The Gruden quarterback camp thing with Will Howard, I thought it was a fun watch. And Will Howard looked really good in it, right? Like, he's enthusiastic. He's reading things well. He's picking up all the crazy audibles that Gruden throws at the guys. He looked good in it, right? It was a positive thing for Will Howard to be featured the way he was in that Gruden quarterback camp thing. And I think all the "Hey, rookie" videos that you've seen out there, he's looked great. What's that?
I was watching last night the draft from 2023 when they did that behind-the-scenes stuff. Boy, were they waxing the you-know-what out of Will Levis, Bryce Young. Who else was taken? There was four guys taken. The Joey Porter draft. Yeah. Unbelievable quarterback class here. They're going. Oh, Anthony Richardson.
Who was saying that?
They sound like a bunch of fools, and that's only been 2 years.
Who was it saying that? Was it Kuiper?
We're talking about, like, Levis could be going second. He's a strong arm. He's going to be a good player. Bryce Young, by far, I cannot find one thing wrong with Bryce Young. He's like, okay. But what I'm getting to.
But the league doesn't know what they're doing with quarterbacks. Mel Kuiper does.
Yeah. So the Will Levis was almost going to go two, but went 34. The Joey Porter thing. So I just happened to run across that last night and watched some of it and just found it quite hilarious that how wrong they were. And that was only 2 years ago. I mean, Stroud, they thought was going to be good. And obviously he is.
Yeah.
Bryce Young, I guess. I forgot all about how much they sold the farm to get Bryce Young too.
Oh yeah. They gave up way too much, but I will say in the last 5-6 games of last year, he started to turn some things around. I think Carolina is a shit show. I think Tepper has kind of sent that thing into
a
tailspin.
Stepped back a little, but you haven't heard anything from him in a year, so maybe
it's been a while. Realize. Yeah, I mean, when he's not busy yelling at fans from his
that's his tremendous box. Throwing this something a drink in a fan's face or whatever. I always say, could you imagine like Art Rooney or Mara or somebody doing that? Or I'm just trying to think of another owner that's. Oh my goodness! Could you imagine that?
They'd be aghast. That's not a word that gets used in regular conversation, but it's perfectly applicable there. They would be aghast.
I'm flabbergasted, Ben.
No, see, Art's way too sophisticated to use the word flabbergasted.
No, I'm talking about Ron Cook when Ben said he wasn't sure if he was coming back. I'm flabbergasted,
Ben. but here's the thing that's going to happen with Will Howard. Every single positive thing.
They need to put him in there.
Yes. That's going to happen. You know that's going to happen. You know that's going to be the thing. It's already started. And like I was saying, it's a couple different things. First of all, the national media, in its belief that the Steelers don't have any other quarterbacks available to them, i.e. Mason Rudolph doesn't exist and or can't be a starter, and Aaron Rodgers may never come to Pittsburgh, right?
If he does, he's just going to blow up everything, right?
Well, the national media believes that. And it's not just Ryan Clark saying that they should tank, blow everything up, tank, and try it for a top five, top 10 draft pick next year.
Will Levis.
It's so that it's the national media looking at it and being enamored with the idea of Will Howard, national championship quarterback, just plugging right in. And it's like, no. That can't go this way. Or the idea that they have to figure out if they have something in Will Howard before next year's draft. They don't have to. They don't have to figure out before next year's draft what they have in Will Howard. They'll have a year with him in the building and get to learn some things about him and how he practices and how he carries himself and all that kind of stuff. But look, what Will Howard does in the next 48 weeks is not going to affect whether the Steelers want to draft a quarterback or not in 2026.
Nor should it.
No.
I mean, there's 182 teams or picks that said, Will Howard, I don't want him. So there's some flaws there, right? I mean, can he overcome them? Yeah, but it's not going to be something you're going to just plug and play him here. This is a guy was, an average quarterback at Kansas State for 4 years? Maybe a tad above. Was an average or above average at Ohio State up until crunch time. And there's something to be about doing what he did in December and January last year, but that doesn't make him a sure bet. I mean, I just named from 2 years ago. Experts were calling those guys all four sure bets, and maybe you got one right now that is. And one might not be in the league anymore after a year or two in Richardson, and who knows what we got with Levis. I don't even know. Levis is obviously out. I mean, where's he going to play at? And Bryce Young, you said, might be turning the corner, but it might be too late.
Yeah.
So what I'm saying is, Mason, I mean, even if Aaron, well, Aaron, it's a moot point. I mean, let's come on. Aaron's coming.
I'm going to start a counter every time you say it's a moot point. I'm going
to start mute.
I'm going to drop a quarter in a jar.
I like to say mute because Cowher said it that one time.
Yeah.
It's a mute point because Rodgers is going to be here. He's going to be starting. Rudolph's going to be the backup. And Will Howard is going to get limited zero reps after August 26th.
Right.
Period.
So stop trying to shoehorn Will Howard into a starting quarterback role, I think, is the lesson learned. But it's going to happen throughout the summer and into the – every time the man touches a football and makes a nice throw in practice, somebody's going to tweet something about it, and then the entire world is going, Will Howard may be able to start.
Wait, you know what? Maybe we can at OTA say, boy, Will Howard's looking really, really good out there. Will Howard's having a great camp, according to – I said last year after OTAs that Justin Fields was, you know, just a little bit inaccurate with his throws or inconsistent with his throws. Mm-hmm. That thing slammed around the world on the internet instantly. Me saying he sucked. I'm like, I didn't say he sucked. I said he was just inconsistent in some of his throws. I wasn't breaking any news. I was just confirming what everybody else in the Stop in Chicago was saying. Yes, he was very inconsistent. So, I'm sure somebody's going to come out of probably next week and say, boy, Will Howard can really spin it.
Right. And people are going to go apeshit.
Here we go.
Yeah, it's going to be nuts. Thanks as well to our newest sponsors, Nail Studio 2. They just jumped on board here to Kabali and Mac, and we appreciate them. All those cake eaters, as Kabali would call them, out in McMurray and Peters Township, Donaldson's Crossroads area. That's where they're at. But in all seriousness, that's the place to go. They've got an awesome special this month, in the month of May, because you got the triple crown of what they call nail holidays. Did you know there's actual nail holidays, Kabali? Did you realize that? There's prom, there's graduation, and there's Mother's Day, which is literally like a week away. Get your stuff together.
Ooh,
I didn't want to swear because they might want to pull the video for an ad. You know, I'm going to be a nice guy. Nailstudio2.com, Roman numeral 2, nailstudio2.com. You go there, in-store purchase of a $100 gift card for mom or your wife, whatever, whoever, for Mother's Day. You'll get a complimentary $20 gift card as well for a future service. So, kaboom, when you want to go get the pedicure taken care of eventually, you can do it at Nail Studio 2 out in Peters. Sound good?
Yeah, you know what? I said, brought this up today. I said, do the kids ever have their nails cut or their toenails cut? No, but they're always the right size. I got to cut my freaking fingernails every like 3 days or something. Is that something to do with age? Your kids cut, well, when they were younger, did you cut their toenails? No.
I don't know. My wife does it. I don't know. They're like, my son's like 12 now. I don't know. That's a hell of a question. I don't monitor the kids' fingernails and toenails.
They just shave off. I mean, what goes on here?
I don't know, but. If you have a teenage daughter like me, if you have a teenage daughter like me, you just wait for the bill to come due on when she gets her nails done. The best place to get it done, Nail Studio 2, Donaldson's Crossroads, McMurray, Peters Township area, Nail Studio 2, Roman numeral 2.com, 724-941-4595. We thank them for jumping on board with us here at Kabali and Mac. All right, let's stop making the man wait. Oh. Stop making him wait. There's the cake eater himself. Penguins reporter extraordinaire Josh Yowie.
You know what? You cut out of that video of cake eater. Didn't I say people that dye their beards?
Oh yeah, I dyed mine pretty good last week in Tampa. So it looks all right. I got some sun, so it makes it look lighter than it is. Whatever. You gotta try to curve the aging process.
I want to know what your definition of a cake eater. We know it's kids that play, people that play lacrosse, right? Like Santa, right?
Yeah. Okay. I mean, I don't know. I grew up in Peters Township, so we didn't really use that term because that's what we were.
Well, you grew up in Venetian. I called that the armpit of Peters Township.
Right. Oh, yeah. I definitely grew up in the poor part of Peters Township, which actually has a higher median income than McMurray, I'll have you know, but not on the street I grew up, I guess. It was okay. We were just like the old school Venetian people who, like, then all the housing plans came into town and everybody wanted to move to Peters Township because it was Washington County, so the taxes were better. So all the Upper St. Clair and Mount Lebanon people drifted a little south.
Mm-hmm. Yinzer buddy was up the street.
Yeah, he lived in a log cabin, for God's sake. My best friend Jesse, we called him Yinzer Buddy. He literally grew up in a log cabin. He stopped watching the Steelers in like 2010 because they started throwing the ball too much, and that just wasn't his brand of football. True story.
They got rid of John L. Williams, and he was hot.
He called me a couple years ago. He said, all right, I turned on the game just for a play. He lives in Kentucky in the woods now. He said, I was 3rd and 1. I saw they were in shotgun. I just started laughing and turned it off.
I believe that's Chris Hookie.
Absolutely.
Chris Hookie. All right. Well, Josh mentioned it. He was down in Florida pulling double duty, not only covering the Panthers and Lightning, but also trying to keep up with everything going on here in Pittsburgh, which was Kyle Dubas and Mike Sullivan deciding it wasn't worth it to stay together for the kids anymore. and with Sully off to New York already, Josh, like, let's start here. Like, I get it. Everybody knew that it was probably time for the breakup to happen, but it kind of feels now like Dad may have had a side piece waiting the entire time because 3 days later he's in New York.
I think maybe it was actually Kyle Dubas who wanted to have a side piece and doesn't have one yet. I don't think it was mutual at all. The Penguins phrased it as this is a mutual decision. Everything I've heard was that Mike Sullivan really didn't want to leave. And, you know, he told me that in March. I had a one-on-one interview with him, and then afterwards we just talked for a while off the record, candidly. And I don't think he was lying. I really don't. He told me, he said, I want to be here until we get good again, as long as it takes. And I don't think he was lying. But I just think what happened was Kyle Dubas basically said, hey, we're going to suck again next year, and I'm not going to spend a lot of money in free agency this summer. It might be more of the same. And the summer of 26 is when we're going to get aggressive. And I think Sullivan had a real problem with that. And I think the losing has gotten to him. And I think he is so tightly bonded with Sidney Crosby and so appreciative of how great Crosby still is that I think in Sullivan's mind, like, you're wasting Crosby right now. He's still so great, and you need to be more urgent to put something together here. And they were on different pages. And I don't think there's any, like, huge animosity between them. I think they both said, okay, well, if this is the way it's going to be, maybe it's best we go our separate ways.
Do you think there was any conversations with New York prior, or is that after the fact?
Because it came together awfully quick, didn't it?
Yeah.
You know, it was always pretty well known in hockey circles that Chris Drury, who is the Rangers general manager, like, he's been obsessed with Sullivan for a long time. Like, everybody I know who covers the Rangers for like 2 years have been saying, like, he wants Sully so bad. He wants Sully so bad. So I'm sure if I'm aware of that, Mike Sullivan was aware of that on some level. I wouldn't accuse the dear blue shirts of tampering or anything, but the word gets around. And, you know, last summer, the Devils, before they hired Sheldon Keefe, they made it very clear that they were interested in Sullivan, and Tom Fitzgerald's their GM, who has worked with Sully before. So I'm sure they talk. Those things happen. And he just wasn't ready to leave. But I think circumstances changed a little bit. And I think this season probably took a toll on Sullivan because, guys, I mean, people can say it was the right move, the wrong move from the Penguins standpoint. But I assure you, no matter whose fault it was, Mike Sullivan just thought his roster sucked. And he was just getting tired of it because his mindset basically was, what do you want me to do with this blue line? What do you want me to do with Tristan Jarry? Like, it wasn't me who put this team together, but I need better ingredients if you want me to be a chef. And it just wasn't there.
What do you think Sid's thought is on all this? I know Dubas said he had a 5-minute conversation with him leading up to all this. I understand he's still a player, and Dubas tried, it seemed to me, was trying to be, I don't want to say forceful, but very emphatic about, like, hey, yeah, I mean, sure, he's Sidney Crosby, but he's a player, and, like, I'm in charge here, guys. Remember me, I'm the boss. And it didn't seem like there was a great amount of concern thrown into what Sid may have thought about all of this.
Yeah, which is interesting. I haven't talked with Sid. He sent me a quick text, like, say a nice little quote about Sully when I asked him for something. We didn't get into it more than that. He and Sullivan are really close, really close. So I can't imagine that he was thrilled about the decision. And moving forward, I think in terms of who the Penguins select as their next coach, it's really interesting. Sid is not like if Mario wanted to get someone fired, he did it in a heartbeat. Same with Yager. Like they would flex their muscles when it came to coaches. Sid is not like that, but he does like to be kind of part of the. He just wants to be in the loop. Like he wants to know what's going on, and which is pretty normal for any captain. But this is also one of the greatest players of all time. It's a little different with him, right? And I'm curious moving forward to see what they do because I can't think that he wants to play for a 35-year-old guy that's never been a coach in the NHL. And I know that's what all the fans want. Get a young guy, not these recycled guys. Get some, you know, 26-year-old analytics guy. That's what they, you know, I know that's what a lot of the young fans want. I get it. And I know the NHL has a terrible habit of recycling the same coaches who are unsuccessful over and over again. But they have to be careful here. You don't want to lose Crosby, right? And you better include him in the process a little bit. And I would think he would prefer somebody who has been an NHL coach that he maybe has some kind of a relationship with. So, and I'm not sure that's what Dubas wants to do. I can see Kyle thinking outside the box and hiring a college coach who's never been in the NHL, something along those lines. It wouldn't shock me. So it's very interesting to me to see how this process unfolds during the next month.
To me, it sounds like they could take advantage of Crosby. When I say that, I mean, he's going to be loyal. I mean, he doesn't want to go anywhere. So let's just bring our guy in. What's he going to do, leave? He doesn't want that on his, you know, lifetime resume. Is that a possibility, too, of just saying, we know, you could talk all you want, Sid, but we know you're not going anywhere. You don't want to go anywhere.
Probably. And we already know his loyalty. I mean, he still plays for like $3 million less than he should be playing a season to help them, right? And I know that – I don't think he ever complains about it, but I guarantee you, whether it be his agent or other people close to him – I guarantee you the narrative when they reach out to the Penguins is like he takes a lot less money so you guys can surround him with a good team, you know. Like how many years is this rebuild going to take? I'm sure that's the thinking. And listen, there's something to that. There absolutely is. And, yeah, I don't think Sid would ever leave. I'm certainly not one of these people who, oh, Sid's going to go play with his buddy Nate MacKinnon in Colorado. Like, no, he's so loyal. He's two things. He's legitimately loyal. And he also hates change to the point that I just can't imagine him functioning in another NHL city. He would hate it. So right. Do they take advantage of it? Will they? I guess they could. I mean, that's conceivable. And maybe I'm not saying he'll put his foot down and say, no, I'm not going to play for this guy. But, you know, I'll throw a name out there because that's what we like to do. Like, I know Sid loves Rick Tocchet. That's one of his favorite people in hockey.
Somebody tells me that's one of your favorites, too.
Sure is. Fingers crossed. If you've ever met Rick Tocchet, you love Rick Tocchet. Everybody in hockey loves him. He's a very easy guy to like, but the big guys in Pittsburgh, they swore by him. I mean, they put him on the same plane as Sullivan, and they've never felt that way about any other coach. Dan Bylsma, Mike Tarrion, no. Tocchet was different. He has their respect. Would somebody like that make, you know, not only Crosby, but Malkin and Letang happy? Sure. And I know people say, who cares? Out with the old, in with the new. And I get that. But you still must understand how much influence those three guys have in that locker room. If you're going to bring in a Mike Johnston kind of guy who they didn't respect from day one, well, that's an issue. So I always say about Kyle Dubas, he makes a ton of money. And it must be great to be Kyle Dubas. But he makes all that money because he's got some really tough decisions to make. And that's been the case for years now, and it's no different now.
Do you think that at all, Josh? And look, nobody wants to piss off Sidney Crosby because Sid is attached to this organization as long as he wants to be attached to this organization. But if you're Kyle Dubas, and maybe you're thinking about a good way to hasten the rebuilding process in so much as you know you have other franchise cornerstones who really like playing for Mike Sullivan and may have an equal distaste for playing for someone new, although not the same level of patience that Sid has for playing for someone new. Do you think does that go into his calculus at all? Like, hey, I know if I hire a young guy, Sid will try to tough it out for a year or two, maybe before getting frustrated. Gino and Tanger will have no interest in this, and maybe they'll be interested in getting out of here.
Maybe. No, it's Letang is the most interesting one here. I don't know this for a fact, but I have to think Kyle Dubas would love to trade him in a heartbeat. Like he's not close to the player he was. Still 3 years left on his contract. My question with him is, does anybody want him?
Yeah.
He wasn't good this year. He's 38. He just had heart surgery. He's had two strokes and career-threatening neck surgery. Like, I don't know if any team out there, yeah, I'll give that guy $6 million for the next 3 years. I don't know. I think that's debatable. And Malkin, I know what you mean, but I really think he's going to retire after this season, one way or the other. I'd be surprised if he doesn't. The real big problem they have, if we're talking about, you know, franchise star players, is Erik Karlsson.
Yeah.
Who I think they should have traded yesterday if they could. I don't think he's a great influence in that locker room. I don't think he's what they need. I think he makes way, way, way too much money for what he brings to the table. But I still think he's the most tradable other than Crosby. I've had people tell me around the league, if they retain a couple of million, they could trade him. Somebody would still take him. I think the Penguins need to do that. But, yeah, it's the thing with the Penguins, guys, you know this. Like, stars always have a certain amount of power. Like, Ben Roethlisberger had a certain amount of power with the Steelers, right? Mm-hmm. Every big name does. But it's different with the Penguins. That's a franchise that is founded on stars. It started with Mario always having all the power. And so these guys have more influence than Austin Matthews does in Toronto. It's just the way it is. Dubas's situation is fascinating. He better be careful. He better tread lightly here because a lot of people will be impacted by this decision.
You're in that locker room every day. With Karlsson, how can you build a team from basically the bottom floor up when you have a guy making, what, $11.5 million, basically saying, I'm not listening to you guys. I'm Erik Karlsson. Can you?
You can't. That's the whole, and he's not the player he once was. I like Erik on a personal level. Like, everybody likes him. He's like James Bond. He's very, you know, he's very exciting and interesting. You just like to talk to him for 5 minutes. He's a fascinating guy, like very personable and engaging, but he doesn't listen to coaches. I know he never listened to Todd Reirden on the power play. He would take little shots at him in the media all the time. This is what's wrong with the power play. He thought he had all the answers. Like, it turns out what was wrong with the power play was Erik Karlsson. It's when they took him off and put Matt Grzelcyk on it, for God's sake, it got better. Not that Karlsson still can't bring certain things to the table. He can. But, yeah, he's not coachable. He's the highest paid player on the team. He's not coachable. Like, Sid is. Like, other, even Malkin and Letang to some extent are, even though they can be, I think, more difficult. But Karlsson, to me, and I don't like to blame him for everything, but just a massive problem for them. And I understand why Dubas got him a couple of years ago. I always say I feel like it was a worthy experiment, but it just went terribly wrong. And you got him for two more years, and if you can unload him, even if you eat some of that money, I just think it's in everybody's best interests.
So let's pivot back to guys that could be up for the job. You make a good point. The franchise cornerstones, including Sid, may not be ecstatic about the idea of a young guy like David Carl mm-hmm. coming in. He's a name that everybody threw out in the immediate aftermath of Sullivan's departure. So then you come back around to, like you said, a lot of the retread guys. It's Tockett or it's David Quinn, who they did not release, is the only assistant they didn't release from his contract. It's I don't know what other names are out there. Or before we go through those, do we have to go through all of these assistants who may be ready to? There's AHL guys. What's the name of the guy in Hershey that everybody loves?
Todd Nelson.
There's a bunch of guys out there who I think most average everyday Penguin fans, Josh, are going, who's that? Like, for most average everyday Penguin fans, it's the young guy Carl from Denver, or it's Rick Tockett, or it's the guy who was the assistant this year, Quinn. And it's like, I don't know anybody else. Who else should we know?
Right. And, well, first of all, David Quinn, I think, is a good assistant coach. He's been an NHL head coach. I don't think he'd be a very inspired choice. Like, I don't think a whole lot would change if that's what you want, if you keep him. And you mentioned Carl, the University of Denver coach. He is the hot guy on the market right now. He took his name out of the running with the Blackhawks, which was interesting since they had spoken with him. He's going to be an NHL head coach. Is he the right guy for the Penguins? I doubt it. Although, you know, I don't want to speak for Crosby. Maybe he would be okay with a young coach. I don't know. It strikes me that he'd be more comfortable, you know, with an older kind of guy. I think Tockett is a very interesting person. But as for other names, like, Now, Jeff Bannister is one name that I put in an article today. He was the coach of the Blues for about a year, and they fired him midway through the season. He's got some Sault Ste. Marie ties, which always makes a difference with Mr. Dubas. He's a name, somebody that I hear they like. He does have some NHL coaching experience. Other than that, though, there's not really any names that are, you know, jumping out right now. And I believe Dubas when he said, like, I'm going to interview a lot of people. This won't be a quick process. And by the way, guys, he's the general manager, Dubas is, for Team Canada and the World Championships, which are being played in Sweden this month. So he's in Sweden for, like, the next 3 weeks. So this isn't going to get done probably until early June. Not that he can't talk with people from Sweden or even fly them over there for a chat, I guess. But I really think some of the interview process will still take place once he's back. So this could drag on into early June for sure.
Do you I know he was big fans of Sheldon Keefe in Toronto, and this is in New Jersey right now. Any chance that Sheldon, they can somehow steal him from the Devils? Or I know he's under contract, but have you heard anything that maybe the Devils aren't happy with him?
Are you showing off your hockey knowledge by dropping a Sheldon
Keefe? Everything, Josh. You should know. Unbelievable.
Wow. No, I mean, I don't. Yes, he did love Sheldon Keefe. If this were 12 months earlier and Keefe had just been fired by the Leafs, I guarantee you he'd be here right now. No question. Because he would have been perfect for everyone. He was a guy that had some, you know, he'd coached the Leafs for years. They'd had some success. Everyone knew who he was, but he's still kind of a younger guy. Kind of fit the Dubas mold, I think. So he would have been perfect. He's under contract, and they had a pretty nice year in Jersey despite the injuries they had. So he's not going anywhere. That would have been ideal for sure. But we will see. Dubas, you know, I think everybody assumes, like, I even had people in the franchise in the organization tell me, like, hey, he's probably going to look for a younger guy who maybe doesn't even have NHL experience. That's just, he's drawn to people like that. He wants to find people with his own vision. And the interesting thing about Dubas, I've had people tell me, of course he loves having Sidney Crosby. Who wouldn't love having him as their captain? But there's a part of Dubas that is just very drawn to the idea of just completely blowing something up and just building it from his own creation. Like, he'd probably on some level like to do that, but he can't. And Dubas told me last year, he said, you know, I'm never going to have a top five pick as long as 87's on my team. Like, he's never going to let us be that bad. And we've seen that for a while. But, you know, then he gets hot at the end of the year like he always does. And so, and they could have told Sid, hey, just go to the Bahamas for a month. Like, come on, we could use one of these top five picks because they weren't that far away. But I know what he means. It's just a weird spot there because you don't want to be in the middle forever, obviously.
So we're 8 weeks from the draft, I think it is, and like 8.5 weeks from free agency.
Right.
And 3 to 4 of those weeks will be spent by Dubas, as you just mentioned, over in Sweden. What happens first? The Penguins hire a new head coach or Aaron Rodgers comes to Pittsburgh?
Well, I mean, your co-host seems to think it's a foregone conclusion that he's already signed. So well, I will say,
but yeah.
I will say Aaron Rodgers signs in Pittsburgh before the Pittsburgh Penguins have a new coach.
What about the Pope? Will they name a new Pope before? What would happen first?
No, I'm not Catholic.
So where's the white smoke coming from? It's outside.
How long does it usually take for a couple weeks with the Pope thing? Or
nobody seems to know.
I'm going to say Rodgers, Pope, coach.
Wow.
I think the coach thing is just going to take a while. And then, as long as they have a coach in place before the draft, that's fine. I mean, preferably before then, of course. I mean,
yeah.
For all I know, they're going to name somebody tomorrow. Crazy things happen. But I don't think that will be the case. And I admit it might be unprofessional on my part, but I am absolutely personally rooting for Rick Tocchet because we just like having Rick Tocchet around. He can tell old gambling stories about Phil Kessel and stuff. It just never gets old.
I guess the biggest question about the team moving forward is, first of all, can you set us straight up who in the world decided to extend Jari like they did? And how do they move on from him? What is the plans with him?
God, I can tell these stories now because I don't have to deal with Sully every day. I talked with Sully. It was actually the day after the Erik Karlsson trade. This is like the most me thing ever. I happened to be in Boston because Kevin Stevens invited me to a celebrity golf tournament. Not that I was golfing, but I just wanted to hang out with Artie because, again, much like Rick Tocchet, who wouldn't want to hang out with Artie?
Right.
Mike Sullivan was there. So he's like, what are you doing here? I'm like, yeah. So got a minute to talk about Erik Karlsson? He's like, yeah, sure. So I do an interview, and then we just talk in the parking lot for like an hour afterwards, just, you know, shooting the breeze. And I looked at him. I said, hey, I said, Tristan Jarry. I said, 5 years? Like, really? And Sullivan basically said we didn't really feel comfortable giving him 5 years, but it's the only way we were going to get him, and it was a terrible goalie market. Like, Jari's agent really had them cornered. There were no real other choices on the market that year. He got really lucky. I don't think Kyle or Mike wanted to give him 5 years. I think they felt trapped and were kind of hoping he would find his all-star form, and he never really did.
Jeez.
Breaking
now news. Here we are.
But so you can – I blame the coaches for some of that because obviously they had influence on Dubas, and obviously it's not like they were saying, no, 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 don't do it. The Ryan Graves contract was 100% Dubas. I mean, that was him, and that was a gross miscalculation on his part. And to his credit, like, he knows it. He admits it. Like, he knows he screwed up. And he really, in the summer of 23, 2 years ago, he basically came in, and I almost felt like he was the kid, like, he wanted everybody to like him. He was the new kid at school. It's like, all right, I'm not going to tear you guys apart. This is Sidney Crosby and Evgeny Malkin. I'm going to give you Eric Karlsson. We're going to spend some money in free agency. Let's give you guys a chance to win. Maybe that Hextall was just an idiot. And then I think about halfway through the season, Dubas was like, oh, God, this team stinks. Like, this isn't good. We really need to rebuild. And what the hell did I do last summer? So from that point on, like, for the last probably 16 months, I think he's done a really good job. That Gensel trade that he made, as great as Jake is, it's a pretty good trade. They're going to get three or four legit NHL players in that trade. So he's done a lot of good things in terms of acquiring draft picks, prospects, etc. But he screwed things up that first month, and that did not help.
Speaking of, Ron Hextall can still be a moron, by the way. Sure. They're not mutually exclusive. Yeah. Right. Speaking of Hextall and morons, the Flyers are looking for a head coach. And that may figure into the Tocchet math. If for some reason they just pay him so much, or he decides, Rick does, that Philly's more his speed at this point than Pittsburgh. Mm-hmm. I mean, will they be, I don't want to say scrambling, because we outlined other candidates and there's other people out there. But do you get a sense that outside of us, because we like Rick and Rick's fun, like you said, that the Penguins organization prefers Tocchet right now? Is there any sense of that whatsoever?
I don't know. And that's kind of the million-dollar question. Now, I know Tocchet likes Dubas. I know for a fact that he thinks highly of him. They actually worked together a little bit in the Four Nations face-off. They were both working for Team Canada. So there's a relationship there. And in fact, Dubas asked Tocchet to be his coach at the World Championships this month. Tocchet turned it down. I think normally he would have done it, but he knew he was about to leave Vancouver and it was a mess, and it was just in his best interest to not coach that tournament this spring. So obviously there's some kind of connection between the two. Now, does that mean that he's Dubas's number one choice? I don't think Kyle has a number one choice. I think Rick will be included in the mix. I know for a fact he's Philadelphia's number one choice. I've had so many people tell me, like, the Flyers, like, whatever he wants. Like, if he wants the job, it's his. Like, he's the guy in Philly. And he's, like, the one guy who is very popular in Pittsburgh and Philadelphia. Like, Rick Tocchet, he's loved on each side of the state. He really is. He's a former Flyers captain. When the Penguins acquired him in 92, he was their captain in Philadelphia. So they still love Rick in Philly. I guess the odds, if I had to make odds, it's probably most likely he ends up in Philadelphia, because we know they want him. We know they'll pay him quite handsomely. But I do think, from what I've heard, that before Rick makes that decision or rushes into any decision, I think he'll wait to hear from the Penguins. And I'm not saying he's going to pick one over the other. I don't want to, you know, put words in his mouth. That's not fair. But I think he has a lot of affection for both franchises. And I know how he feels about Sid. Remember in that Ranger series 3 years ago when Sid got hurt and the Trouba hit? Sid was playing out of his mind that series before he got hit. Tocchet told me during that series, he said, you know, I had to send Sid a text last night and just tell him, like, I've never seen the center position played better. Like I said, as a guy who's like a hockey coach and who likes to work with younger players, like, I literally am going to show them videos of stuff he was doing. Like, and I just had to take a minute to tell him that. Like, that's the affection that he has for him. So I think the allure of being maybe Crosby's last coach in the NHL And maybe if the Penguins can get good again in a hurry. Yeah, he loves Pittsburgh. His son was born here. He still has a lot of connections here. So I think he'll wait and listen to the Penguins before he goes to Philly. But, Philly's there for him if he wants it.
I think it's time to turn it up a little bit, Mac. Yoey, what do you think of Mike Tomlin?
There we go.
Why would you do that? Why would you wind him up like
that? Because he can't help himself.
I don't hate Mike Tomlin. I don't think he's a terrible coach. It's not that. My biggest problem with him is that rotten coaching staff he has assembled. Who's this dope that's the offensive line coach? And what's his name? Pat? How does he have a job? Like he has all these first round picks. They're still terrible. It's clear they don't know what they're doing. Terrell Austin has never been a good defensive coordinator anywhere he's been. So I don't know why we're surprised that every snap the defensive players are talking to each other, trying to figure out who's doing what. It's a terrible. It was Cowher's greatest strength. It's the biggest difference between Cowher and Tomlin. Cowher's first staff, he had Dick LeBeau, he had Marvin Lewis, and he had Dom Capers on his defensive staff. For God's sake. Like, that guy could hire a staff. Tomlin likes to hire his buddies on the staff. It's his biggest problem. It drives me nuts.
How angry he is, Mac.
I think
it's been 16 years. It's too long.
Sorry. I think you need to get to the bottom of these allegations, Cabali. Is Tomlin just hiring his buddies? I mean, there's been some serious claims levied here today.
I don't think nobody wanted to coach with Todd Haley. We love Todd Haley. Well, nobody wanted to coach with Matt Canada, so he was the only one who said, okay, I'll do it.
But sorry, you got two first-round picks at tackle. You got a second-round pick at center. You got a good left guard. A kid that was a rookie. What's his name? The right guard.
For God's sake, you should love him.
Yeah. You got talent there, like real talent. So if that line sucks again this year, please, like enough. We got to keep our pal Aaron healthy. And I don't understand why so many people don't want Aaron here. Don't we like a little bit of drama? Don't we like entertainment? Like, who doesn't want to see when Aaron Rodgers shows up in Latrobe, Pennsylvania? It would be the greatest thing ever. I can't wait to watch it.
It's going to be amazing. Real quick, two things we have to ask you about before you go. One, we worked our way through the cake eater accusations. I have to ask more about the story that Cabali sent me on Wednesday that is absolutely legendary.
Josh, this was probably his finest work of all time.
TJ absolutely spanked EF in 2008. And you were covering high school football at the time. Yep. And Elizabeth forward coach Gary Cathell, angry that TJ threw a number of passes in the second half, I'm just reading your fine work verbatim now, refused to shake Chirpak's hand. I promise you I will be the coach here until I beat that bleeping guy. I'm sick of him and the way he tries to embarrass people. I'm sick of him and his butt buddy coaches.
So this game was at Elizabeth Forward, and I know Gary Cathell because he used to be the coach at Peters Township when I went to high school. He was my neighbor growing up, so I've always known Gary. So maybe he was a little more comfortable with me to provide that kind of commentary. I'm like, I got my recorder out. I'm trying not to laugh. I'm thinking, oh, Jesus, he just called him butt buddy coaches. This is pretty wild. So I drive to the office. I looked at Cabali. I said, I'm going to write this. Like, I have to write this. But, like, he called him butt buddies. Like, all this wild stuff. So, like, Mark's just laughing. Like, we didn't really know what to do. So,
at the time, we're at McKeesport. Anything will roll. We'll put
I used to write things in articles that would get me fired. I mean, at any point. Yeah, and our bosses didn't. We had a boss that evening, an editor, a very delightful woman named Shelley. Like, you could drop F-bombs, and she'd be like, okay. I mean, then we took full advantage, I admit. So I was like,
you get paid $7 an hour.
That's right. He was $9.50. But anyway, so I said, you know what? I should call Chirp, though. So I called Chirp, and I said, hey, just want to let you know, Gary Cathell just called your coaches butt buddies and got a bunch of other things. And I think the score of the game was only 35-0. If I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, that's what it says here.
So there's a quote in there somewhere from Chirp where he goes, well, let me give you another quote. I could have, like, put up 80 on them if I wanted to or something like that.
Everyone in the stadium knows it could have been a lot worse if we wanted it to be. If we wanted to score 70, we would have scored 70.
Yeah, that was it. So that was not like interview. I did interview him after the game, but that was the phone call afterwards. Like, hey, before this runs and, you know, this might get a little dicey. And I figured the Trib owned us at the time. I thought we might get in trouble for writing that article. But the Trib apparently – I still remember Jerry DePaula calling me and said, this is the greatest high school football article I've ever read. I'm like, great. I'm glad Jerry liked it.
Yeah, you know, the friend of the Daily News, friend of mine, yours, Kerry Hetrick, athletic director at the time, actually called and apologized, didn't he?
Oh, yeah, he did. He absolutely did. I think that might have been Coach Cathell's last year in EF, too, if I'm not mistaken. All he didn't last much himself. Longer there, but I was – oh, man, I was proud of that.
The headline? We just put butt buddies on top.
I think we did. Yeah, we were like one step below the National Enquirer when we were in McKeesport. It's like, we're not making any money. Like, if we got fired, like, we could make more money at Wendy's. So let's just have a little bit of fun here. And, man, we did. Oh, my God.
Were you there at that time, Mac? When were you there?
No, I was only there for a little bit in 2006. Mm. Yeah. 2006-ish.
Right, that was right when we were in our prime at the Daily News. We did just unspeakable things in that building, some of which can't be repeated.
Yeah, with Ruzic and Roche and Solomon.
These were some wild, wild times. And I knew you were going to ask about that. Really? I still Google that article every now and then just to read it.
Well, for the ink-stained wretches that were down in circulation, which is where I was.
And they were, too.
Yeah. It was literally, yeah, you would go home covered in ink because the press was so old that it would jam on the daily. And you would have to, I mean, literally, we'd be pulling stacks of newsprint out of the rollers. It was a disaster. And then you'd go down and you'd catch stacks of 50 at a time being thrown down a chute at you at about 95 miles an hour. So you could drive around the upper Mon Valley and deliver them at 3 a.m. on a Friday night.
And you just hope those guys down there were a little bit sober on a Friday night, but that wasn't always the case.
I was. Can't these speak guys, for all of my colleagues necessarily. These
guys came straight from the bar at like midnight to put the paper out. God bless them. That was very McKeesport. I miss those times, though. Those were fun times.
Out of control. And all your butt buddies. Oh,
real quick, one quick story. I know you probably have to let me go soon, but Mark, I only tell this story for Mark because he'll appreciate it. So my flight was delayed forever last night. I get home from Tampa. My flight lands at 1 a.m. I'm walking to get my luggage in the airport, and the floor was wet, and I didn't realize it. And I literally fell, and like my left leg buckled. I thought I broke my leg. It still really hurts. And like all these people ran up to me to ask if I was okay. It was absolutely horrifying. And my very first thought, I swear to God, my first thought was, like, Mark Cabali would think this is so funny.
Oh, I would laugh my ass off.
He would laugh hysterically. And I was, like, literally, like, sprawled. My leg buckled. I thought I was – oh, it was terrible.
We used to hide in the old McKeesport Daily News building, and he'd walk into the office, and we'd jump out of the back room and scare him, and he would, like, fall to the ground.
I'm very easy to scare.
It happened every single time.
Yeah, if I don't know somebody's there and like somebody yells or something, I get so scared.
We'd even park our car somewhere so you think that we weren't even there.
Yeah, it was really weird shit. I mean, it was like,
parked down in the police lot and walk up.
Mark would spare no expense to make me just a little miserable.
Yeah, like you didn't do anything to doom Greg Christen.
We should have a segment about Greg Christen. A gentleman we used to work with, I once moved his desk into the ladies' room in the McKeesport Daily News, and he didn't know where his desk was. Yeah, we did some terrible things. Oh my God! We
put tape over his phone.
Yeah, he'd be like, "Hello, I can't hear you. Hello,
can't hear you." There'll be tape on it.
Oh yeah.
The easily startled Josh Yowie, who will be covering the Penguins' head coaching search very closely over the coming weeks and hopefully not months. Hopefully it's not multiple months, but for the next several weeks, we appreciate you taking the time, especially after you got in late last night. Go get the leg checked out. Make sure you didn't blow an Achilles or two like some people.
Yeah, some people do that two times. By the way, I showed up on time, Mark. 11 a.m. right on the dot.
I mean, in his – how many years did you work at Daily News?
Six.
He might have been on time once.
Well, 6 a.m. I was coming from cake eater territory. It was a bit of a drive. You
know? I mean, I text him at like 7:30. You know you're an hour late. Oh, I just woke up.
that's an embellishment. I'd usually be like 15 minutes late. Something like that.
All right. Go get some rest. We'll catch up soon.
Good seeing you, fellas.
See you, Josh. Josh Yoey.
We could do a whole freaking
the Daily News Chronicles. It could be an entire podcast itself.
What's that goofy show called? The Office?
Yeah.
You could do one on the McKee Sport Daily News Sports Department, no doubt.
Just chaos at all times. I mean,
he would use you know the transactions? Mm-hmm. He would just make up transactions and put them in there, like the Daily News League. The commissioner was the guy we were talking about. Who worked with us, Greg Christen. So he'd be like, Greg Christen was fired for being a dummy. And you put it right in, and nobody would see it. Because who in the newspaper would look at the transactions under Daily News League, you know, for being an idiot? You know, something like
that. That's just absolutely amazing. Thanks again to Yoey for checking in. Sounds like, I mean, again, it's early. Who knows what Dubas is thinking? But sounds like talk. It's a possibility. I don't know.
You dropped some breaking news, I guess, huh? About the old Tristan Jarry. They felt cornered, huh? They had to sign just to get him.
It was a bad offer.
I haven't heard that story before, and I just like set him up for that one, have I? Did I?
No, you're good. I don't think anyone had heard that story before.
I mean, was that noticeable that I set him up because I already knew that story?
It was good work by you. You nobody realized it until you just said it now. Luckily, it's late enough in the show that maybe nobody knows what you're talking about at this point. You can always go back and hear what Yoey had to say. That's why you download this thing in podcast form or just watch it on YouTube. We got to thank as well our good friends at Impact HVAC. You need to get the AC tuned up before it really starts to heat up this spring and summer. By all means, give them a call, 412-297-1852, or check them out on Facebook, Impact HVAC PGH. Maybe you go to turn the AC on the first time this spring, this summer, and it doesn't work. They'll get on out and service it for you. Maintenance, service, replacements of your system, tune-ups, whatever it may be. Impact HVAC, 412-297-1852. I was going to talk about an interesting idea someone had about the schedule, but we can save that for next week because we've still got 12 days to go until the schedule gets released.
Well, days of Christmas.
We have a special guest on Monday, don't we?
Yes.
Big time special guest on Monday who has ties to both the sports world and the sports entertainment world. I guess we could put it that way, right?
He does not participate in either one.
Who could that be?
But he does hang out, and how can I put this? He has put it this way. He has quite a probably full Rolodex right now.
Yeah, he's a busy guy. He's been a very busy guy, so we're glad he's going to make some time for us on Monday. Come back Monday morning.
Local legend, too.
That out. Yes, absolutely. Although probably resides in cake eater territory.
I don't know. He might live in Mount Washington.
Mount Washington. So what does any part of Mount Washington qualify as cake eater territory or just Grandview?
I don't really go up there very much, so I'm not aware. I'm sure there's half and half there. I think the cake eater stuff is not like Lawrenceville, you know, taking the rundown places and making $800,000 condos and Bakery Square. That's very cake eaterish, I think. Now,
man, you've got to do a map, an entire map.
Did you like my what I came up with the other day? The cake eaterish people that shop with their earbuds in.
Oh. Yeah, that might have to get added to your list. Yes, you need to keep a running list and put together a map of cake eater territory, at least in Pittsburgh metro area. Gives you something to do over the weekend, okay?
All right, I'm going to go just make sure you don't have an in-ground pool.
Nope, mine's above ground. Still hanging in there. And don't forget, you got to be one of the first 1,500 subscribers. We are at, as I last checked earlier this morning, like 1,220. So
you got to move it along.
Yeah, you guys got to do a better job of telling your friends who you think may be interested in the show that they need to get properly set up for mini camp, OTAs, training camp, and then the regular season. by making sure they're subscribed to Cabali and Mac on YouTube. Once we get to 1,500 subscribers, we'll give away the autographed Pat Freiermuth Penn State helmet as well. So big guest on Monday. Yins, enjoy your weekend. We'll be back on Monday with that big-time special guest and maybe some schedule theories as well. That is the corner of Josh Yowie's face that Cabali is pointing to. We thank him for joining us today as well. And thanks, as always, to our presenting sponsors, the Dan Heck Team, heckteamhomes.com, H-A-E-C-K, heckteamhomes.com. If you're looking to buy or sell a home in the Pittsburgh area, have a great weekend, Yins, guys. It's Cabali.